and I thank you for your understanding. And again, may God bless the people of Ontario. Thank you so much.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh boy. Oh. Oh. Oh no.
Good morning, Doug Ford's office. One moment, please. Good morning, Doug Ford's office. One moment, please. Doug Ford's office. One moment, please.
Oh my God. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? This is so bad.
Mr. Ford! Mr. The Gaspers is online too!
Tell him I'm on the phone with my, my mother!
Doug Ford's office. One more, please. Mr. Ford! Mr. Rice is online too! And Mr. The Gaspers is now online 3, 6, and 9! And the Wynn Hotel would like to know if you would like to book another group massage for next month.
Tell Mr. DeGaspers I'm on the phone with Mr. Rice. And then tell Mr. Rice I'm on the phone with Mr. DeGaspers.
Mr. Ford's office, can you hold, please? Yes, Mrs. Ford. Mr. Ford is here right now. He's just a little bit busy right now, hon. I'll have him call you back as soon as he can, I promise. Yes, yes, ma'am. Mr. Ford's office, please hold. Doug Ford's office. Oh, it must be time for the Canadian Real Estate Show.
Daryl, I think Mr. Ford's in a lot of trouble. What do you think?
Oh my God. Have you ever heard the term swimming with the fishes?
You know what? I would just, if I were him, I would stay far away from any lakes that are anywhere outside the city right now, you know?
Freshly paved sidewalks. I would not go near those.
Concrete projects or, you know, lakes or anything like that. Just probably stay where you are, Dougie.
No, but seriously, like, TK is uncertain whether or not you guys actually stuck around for the second part of last week's skit.
I'm 100% sure that people did not stick around.
Did not.
Because they commented just about the first one.
Just about the open.
And it was only like 6 minutes after we actually launched the episode. So how could you have watched an hour long episode in 6 minutes?
Jesus.
Mr.
Cheaters.
Johnson 5636 user 321. We know who you are.
That's right. We've got you. We've got you.
So what do you got going on? A lot of big stuff going on with the City of Toronto this week.
City of Toronto.
Nobody knows about.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that people do know about, but we were fortunate to feel a little bit of a shift in the wind, TK.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt nice. It was good. Yeah. I could use a breeze, you know? But seriously, I mean, we had a pre-consultation meeting on, you know, the best deal in the City of Toronto. And I'm not just saying this, TK. Like, it's actually true. Proof is in everything. This is like a whirlwind. Mm. But a lot of big announcements coming up. Can't make them yet, but this thing is crazy. So we have what's called a pre-consultation meeting with the city. And I can't really reveal what they said because I haven't got it in writing yet. But like, it was so surprisingly different than the ones that I've been to in the past. It was like, what? Was that a dream? Like, that that can't possibly have gone crazy.
In the past, there was a ton of resistance. I have a question actually for you. Do you think it has anything to do with about those application fees getting refunded after a certain period of time?
Big time. Yeah. So they got a fire under their ass to get it.
They're
like,
just like,
done
look,
in time.
We need money to pay our salaries. Otherwise, they're cutting back and, you know,
well, planning that's part of it.
Stuff,
that's...
And we're going to get these things filed through here.
That's part of it. But you know what I really noticed actually was the biggest difference? Mm. And it's crazy, but like, there was only young people in this meeting. And by young, I mean like, not like 20s, you know, but these guys were like in their early 30s and, you know, they were like, you know, not old and like angry and like set in their ways about, you know, we made this policy for a reason and we, and nobody was flexing their muscles to say like, hey, you know, like if you don't do this, then well, yeah. Like some of the stuff that goes on in these meetings, you have no idea. Some of the dick swinging and muscle flexing and the stupidity that used to come out of their mouths. But this time it was like, What? Really? Hold on a sec. Are you serious?
Do how many?
Hang on. What show am I on right now? Right? Because it's all online. But anyways, very, very promising. If and I don't know if this is going on everywhere else, right? And with everyone else, but I mean, I'm not special, and although the property's fairly special, I mean, it's not that special that like they're gonna like do somersaults and backflips and breakdance for us.
Yeah,
but they are doing all three, it seems, and that's pretty crazy.
Here's my other take on it though, right? Because housing starts are down, development is down, land sales are down.
How many permits isn't the answer to that.
Well, how many applications are actually going into the city's office right now? I'm sure that's also down.
It's got to be down.
And so they're not as busy. They're not as overwhelmed. You know, right now they're getting pressure and they're obviously getting pressure to build more properties from different levels of government. We got a new mayor. There's all sorts of new initiatives and everything like that, what we're going to talk about. But somebody obviously has got in their back of their mind, how do I create more housing? How do I make sure that there's going to be more housing today? And no developers are coming in with any applications. They're going, what do we do? How do we navigate this?
No, but I see applications and I see just, I mean, if
look, there's no way that the number of applications right now is anywhere near where the 5-year average.
No. But if the rest of the teams that are handling applications are acting like this, I mean, I have to say the other side of the equation is how we're behaving with the application too. We're not going there looking for 50 stories, even though quite honestly, with planning rationale and the way things work, I could make a great point for why there should be 50 stories on this site, but it will never happen ever in a million years. And we're not going for that. Whereas most people are still in this old mentality of like, you know, go for 50. And when we get 34, it's a fucking win and a half, right? Because we underwrote it at 28.
Yeah. 12 years later.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Maybe a couple years later. That's the difference,
right? Is guys are hanging on to these sites for a long time. And these are guys who can afford to hang on to sites for a long time. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So you understand that the clock is on in any development, because at the end of the day, you want to get things through the gate. Well, you want to get things sold.
Part of the puzzle, right? Because I mean, you don't want just this backlog of applications and permits where no one's building. I mean, they still have to figure out how to get us incentivized to put a shovel in the ground, as well as, you know, guys are, as deals start coming online and people start really feeling the pinch and having to get out of deals, which I gotta think this was definitely a part of this, because it doesn't make any goddamn sense on any level, this thing. But
from the people we bought from?
Yeah. Like
it does. It makes total sense to me.
But we're not even like,
it makes total sense to me. Makes total sense to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's crazy. But this is what I was trying to tell you earlier today when we were talking, and then we said we'd save it for the show.
Okay, tell me. I forgot.
Okay, the majority of people who own land don't have the same brain as a developer.
Right. Well, okay, hold on. Let's back up a sec. The reason we talked about that is because something else is being passed around that came out from the government, report. The city, that says basically what they're proposing. And part of that is if you're on what's considered a main street, which I think is an avenue, major street or an avenue in the official plan, then if you're a neighborhood and you're on a main street, you can go up to 6 stories and 30 units now, like overnight, which is pretty friggin'
meeting
cool.
All the other building code requirements and all that kind of stuff. Did they talk about angular plane?
there's no mention of Angular Plane, but there's other documents that are being circulated that also show different rules now with Angular planes.
Okay.
Now, I mean, you're still going to need a decently deep lot in order to have a building efficient enough to build and make money on. But my question to you and why you brought this up was like, what does this do for the values of these when all of a sudden everybody is like the same?
Well, right? Remember your theory on multiplexes? Now, Daryl, everybody.
But I said
can be
no one was going to do them.
But in the beginning, you were saying, it's not going to be a case where people are going to now be able to make more units on each lot, therefore lowering housing prices by creating more supply. You're like, if anything, it's going to raise housing prices because the average developer can pay more money now for a property that could be turned into a fourplex.
But that was
many people are doing fourplexes, Daryl?
No, but I think that was a little bit even more niche than this. Because
I'm just saying that's the exact same premise. So I'm not saying that, you know, you're thinking the same way. I'm saying that the average person with that property doesn't have that knowledge, isn't willing to do it. And as soon as, and I'll give you the example that we're going to be talking about later in the Greenbelt area.
Yeah.
As soon as
what does knowledge have to do with anything anymore?
As soon as people find out that their land can be, there's some changes, whether it be the zoning or it's in the official plan or there's some sort of policy, that their price just doubles in their head. They just go, developers want to pay more. I deal with these people all the time.
I had a guy call me right away.
Like, some crazy price because they think a developer is going to pay them X. And 99% of the time, they're wrong.
No, I had a realtor send me an email.
Almost 100.
I had a realtor send me an email right away with this policy. And he's like, you passed up on the deal, but like now it's like worth even more. And I was like, is it? Because like, can't I just buy their neighbor?
Yeah.
Or the one beside them? Like, can't I just bring my cost base down by moving over a bit? Because they're the same.
Yeah.
Right. And it's all the way down the street. And there's, if you look at the official plan and how many neighborhoods are on major streets. Now, check this out. I don't know how this works. And I would love to know because I've been thinking about this forever. And I think this makes it way simpler. What if your backyard is on a main street? Right. What if you're on like this street, but you happen to be one of those houses that backs onto Steeles, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Can I now build a 6-story building on that thing because it's on Steeles?
But you're not fronting on Steeles.
Well, why not? Just tell them I want it to turn on to Steeles now?
Yeah, you can make an application just like a severance. You'd have to make a severance in the middle of the land, and then the front half would be one property and the back half would be another, and the new frontage would be on Steeles. That happens all the time.
Yeah, I don't know about severance. I think you just turn it into a Steeles address all of a sudden. But anyways, all I'm saying is like there's
the same way that happens, you would be able to change the address to the other side.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a church that I brought you before, and it was backing onto Shepherd, and me and you looked at it, and I was talking to the person at the church today, and I got the information about who to talk to about it.
Let's go.
That's exactly what it is.
Near a TTC?
It's right near a TTC? By the TTC.
Do I have to edit this out again like last time? Shit.
Listen, what TTC? Oh, I already said TTC. Shepherd.
That's okay. Yeah. It's okay. We'll figure it out. But that's the kind of thing.
Those are
the
type of things that we've got, right?
A neighborhood?
Yeah. And that was that was the question that me and you had. We're like, townhouses. Like, this is a few years back now. But like,
what about for the rental replacement though? All of a sudden. Now for the rental replacement, it's like there's a sea of opportunity to just buy a house and put 30 units now, go over the rental replacement.
But let's go back to the point. The point is that
shit's changing.
Part of you is thinking, and I'm going to say this like as candid as I can be, part of you feels like, well, this will devalue the value of Daryl's properties and Daryl's the deals that you work on because now anybody can do it. It's not true, Daryl.
It's not true.
People, one, don't know what they're doing. So they're not going to be developing it. And the developers who do know will be able to find some good deals. They'll be able to pull up some properties that they would be finding anyways, one way or another. Right. But most of the people, when they approach them and they say, well, I want to buy your property for X, Y, and Z, and this news becomes public, it'll be, oh, a developer wants to buy my property because I'm on Lawrence or Finch or Birchmount or whatever. well, he should pay me twice as much as my neighbor got. He's going to make millions. No one wants to be a sucker.
No, but these are like different. These are ones that used to be neighborhood or our neighborhood. It's not like the same as if you had a mixed use building and you had like retail.
But people
or something.
Will find out the same way.
Wait, I wonder how many people even know.
Think about the plaza on Kingston Road that you bought.
Right? Tell me what am I missing?
These guys knew what they were doing.
Well, they were in a different kind of part of real estate. They weren't developers. Somebody told them
much more than the average person.
Right. Okay. Point taken. Got it. You're right, TK.
This is how it is.
Always right, TK.
I'm just saying, this is how it is. People just are so like, you know, la di da di da. And if they do catch wind of anything, they're way off on their numbers.
I'm not paying more for that shit. I'm going next door. So don't call me with any of your stupid deals. But if you own the property, give me a call.
Send him a note. You know, he'll look at it.
If you own a property on a main street that's a neighborhood somewhere in the old city of Toronto, give me a call.
Is it just old city of Toronto?
Old city of Toronto. Which is vast. It's a vast place.
I was mentioning other areas there, so not all those areas would qualify. Just old city Toronto.
No, but now this is like what we're looking for.
Of course.
I guess it's gonna
have to.
We're
already looking for it anyways.
It's gonna have to go in the second fund because fund number one's filling up or full. I think second fund is
probably gonna be. This is started insane, any day. All right, let's get going here. Let's get going.
Talk to me. Okay, so I get a text yesterday from a friend of ours, a commenter of on the show, and I said to her. Oh yeah, I spoke to her. Thank God I didn't buy that property in the Greenbelt that TK was selling, right?
Are you a real estate agent and you're looking to make a change? Anywhere in Ontario, guess what? We're hiring. Franklin Associates, number one team in the GTA for all RE/MAX teams, number one team for all teams from all companies for number of units sold throughout Toronto. So if you're looking to make a change, best decision I ever made was to join Franklin Associates. Go to jointeamleo.com and we can set up a call.
Thank God I didn't buy that property in the Greenbelt that TK was selling, right? And because she just sent me the video of Doug Ford up there going, made a promise and
what happened?
Right? Maybe let's those start. Weren't the same video.
Let's TK. Start with what I think is going to happen.
Hold on, but let's talk about what happened.
Okay,
you said you had a crazy fucking day.
It's a crazy, insane.
Yeah.
So the only when the Greenbelt legislation came out to release 7,400 acres from the Greenbelt to be developed, there was one particular area that was targeted, which is in Pickering, called the Dufferin's Rouge Ag Preserve.
I have your surprises.
We've had people
here
on the show, and long story short is one of the sellers, through contacts of mine, wanted to sell their property, honestly, because they were ready to sell. There was like retirement. There was all sorts of different things going on in their life. This wasn't like a opportunistic type of situation where it was just because this announcement came. They had been thinking about it. They were running a business. It was time to close it down. They had all sorts of things going on. They wanted to sell. So they said to us, well, what should we do? And of course, you know, they're interviewing different people and they're talking to different agents and everyone's giving their story. And I told them at that time, you have no idea what's going to happen, if this is going to change or it's going to, you know, go back, or if there's going to be any things that, you know, might make the land worth less. And the risk is, if you do sell now, there's still like a bit of gray area. It's a maybe. So you may not get the money that you're hoping for. But if you don't sell and they change it back, you're definitely not going to get the money that you're hoping for. So everyone had this number in the sky. They were all thinking like, $1 million an acre, $2 million an acre, $1.5 million an acre. Like, everyone had all these ideas.
Yeah.
And so long story short is we got a few offers, you know, some big developers bid, some smaller developers bid, but everybody who was bidding all had a lot of experience, all owned a lot of land in Durham region. We sold
in
it to a
area.
Guy in the area. So we sold it to a guy who was
your surprise is here.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
He's here, ready to rock and roll, I hope. Can you see who it is?
Dun, 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 dun.
Mr. Fuck Doug Ford right here live.
I swear. I was on your side the whole time.
How good
I swear, I was trying to protect the green belt.
That's right.
Gentlemen, great to see you. Great to see you.
Welcome back. So TK's in the middle of a story.
I'm telling my story about how I successfully sold the green belt to developers and changed the whole landscape of the real estate market in Ontario. You know,
nice TK,
right? Single handedly
before he his
and
property.
So here's
closed.
What happened. This is what happened, right? So we sell a 10-acre parcel in the Dufferin Rouge Ag Preserve.
Wait, are you joking right now? Or
no, this is full.
So
serious.
we sell the parcel. Okay. We sell the parcel for good money, way above what it was worth 2 years ago. Okay, to a developer. The closing date ended up getting pushed until yesterday,
I
the 21st of September.
Thank God.
So on the 21st of September, the 20th, the 19th, whatever, we got insurance issues. No, they're not insuring. This is insuring. We got closing. The extension is being talked about. Everyone's going left and right. And the seller's like, TK, I don't care if he's got insurance. I don't care what he needs to do. I don't care whose name it's going to be under. You just close that deal on the 21st and make sure that we get the money. And I was just like, whatever you say. So I'm going back and forth, buyer, lawyers, seller, everybody. And I just said, look, he doesn't have it. Push forward. Don't worry.
Don't ask for nothing.
2:30 p.m. yesterday, the seller's lawyer messages us and says, we're in funds. We got the money. We're ready to close. We're just getting everything done. And I'm like, holy smokes. Big chunk of money. A lot of zeros. And half an hour later, Dougie makes the announcement. And at that point in time, there were no... for the deal not to close. And shortly after 5 o'clock, when I closed, I called the buyer and he's just like, what happened?
What the fuck?
Did I buy?
And the I'm deal went like, through the buyer.
The deal
bought,
went through.
The buyer
bought
it happened.
Who was the buyer though? Was he a developer?
You know, like, look, man, he was supposed to make a ton of money. This was supposed to be a happy ending. Yeah. The seller got paid this huge premium. The buyer was going to make a ton of money because he's going to land bank it for 10 years and it's going to be worth 20 million. Like this is like a good, happy
success
thing. Like I
story,
thought this was,
yeah.
I'm doing a service to the community. And yesterday it felt really bad. It didn't feel good at all.
My God.
You know, I was happy for my seller. Great guy, great family. I'm thrilled for them, but
yeah,
this
the buyer's
buyer
not so happy.
He's going to have to hang on to that property a very long time.
Oh
and
my God, man.
We'll see what happens. I mean, anything can happen. You guys don't
not
know
as long as the
happen.
Rice Let's family.
The next guy could come in and change things again, right? Who knows? But
so there were no mechanisms to stop the sale once it had started at 2:30 p.m. yesterday.
Once the money was transferred, that was it. And
I'm
talking
get my money back,
half
please?
An hour of the announcement. And I'm telling you, if I was the buyer, that buyer, I'm 100%, but I'll just speak for myself. I would have just said, oh my God, it's no longer released from the greenbelt, it's back in. Screw you guys, keep my deposit, sue me, because those losses would be way less than
the amount of money. That money was wired already, it wasn't coming back. If they were in funds, it was wired
it was in the lawyer's trust account. It was a done deal. It was a
big
win.
That's like Indiana Jones grabbing the hat, you know?
Yeah.
the last second.
Yeah. Like,
holy.
It felt that way. And talking to him today, I'm just like, I don't know what to say. You know, like,
your seller,
there's a lot of moving parts here.
Your seller is feeling the same glee that Gundobad is feeling about this whole thing. You should see his videos on TikTok. Like, you could see he's like, he won.
I think
you know?
He's the
it's
one
like he did
convinced
it.
Ford. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he did.
Saw his videos and was just like, I don't want to mess with that guy.
That is fucking unreal, man. So wait, the seller was he also a land speculator?
No, family owned for 50 years or something like that. You know, just time to retire. I mentioned this in the beginning of the story. Just time to retire. There was no like opportunistic type of like, oh my gosh, I should. It was just like, hey, I'm ready to retire now. Nobody else is selling. Why don't I go through with selling the property now?
So you're telling me that this 10 acres was in the DRAP, the Dufferin Rouge Agricultural Preserve, and it was just adjacent to that chunk
surrounded
of land.
Surrounded by
the Gasper's
own family.
So he kind of slid in on the back end of that. And because they just took out that whole chunk, but he probably was not involved in the backroom dealing that, you know, got that taken out.
God, no, he's a farmer. He knows nothing about this stuff.
Can you tell us the dollars per acre that he sold it to this new speculator for?
Yeah, $660,000 an acre.
Damn.
What's it worth now today?
I don't know. 40, I don't want to say
40 grand,
but less.
What about rice? You keep, I, the only reason I know this story is because of you. Is what's the story there? I hear 20%, 25% interest rates, 80 million, 100 million. What's the deal there?
Gundabad?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? You talking to me?
Yeah. You, yeah, yeah. You keep talking about it. Oh,
so the way that
it,
I see it, you're looking down at TK. You're looking down at TK and my visualization here. Yeah, the rice thing, I think it's like 22 or 25%. I'm pretty sure it was RBC. I would love to know the bankers at RBC, what they knew to give that loan to them in the first place. Right.
Can you explain it just for the viewers who didn't watch your channel?
Well, I guess the Rice family, you know, bought a good chunk of land in King County that was also taken out of this Greenbelt swap, you know, at the end of last year with Dougie. It's now being put back in, but they essentially took out this $80 million at whatever 25% annual interest rate from RBC. And they bought this chunk of land like 60 days before the announcement was made. And, you know, the integrity commissioner, the auditor general, they both basically said, listen, there's no way they didn't make that purchase without insider information. But we have no smoking gun to prove it. But it's sketchy as all hell. Mm-hmm. So
isn't the smoking gun the loan like that is like $80 million more than they paid for the land
at 20% interest?
At 20 something percent? Like that's you a would pretty think smoking so. Gun, right?
Wow.
You would think so. Isn't like there- how did they blindly choose that, whatever, you know, few hundred acres out of the 2 million acre greenbelt, right? Like, how did they know it was that chunk of land? But I mean, there was no like communication, right, from somebody in Dick Ford's office saying, hey, bro, buy it there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, they were probably doing it at, you know, a late night over champagne in somebody's house. So, so
or maybe while getting massages in Vegas, possibly. Is that possible?
Did you guys talk about that story on your show yet?
No, right there. We just brought it up. Yes.
It's class. You can't make this shit up, man. Yeah.
Is this crazy or what?
Guys were on a trip to Wynn, you know, resorts in Vegas, luxury hotel. And it was, I think, the like Minister of Business Development and the chief, you know, aide to Doug Ford. It was like the chief of like housing policy for Doug Ford. And they were telling the integrity commissioner, because the integrity commissioner is like, wait a minute, you bros were all in Las Vegas on the same weekend. And all of them, I think, including this guy, Shakir Rematula, I think his name is. I don't know if you guys know this guy, but from Flat Out Developments. And he bought actually 100 acres in Markham from this family, the Drudge family. This is a side story. I did a podcast with a member of the Drudge family last week or 2 weeks ago. Super interesting what happened there. That's a whole other story. But anyways, this Shakir Rematula guy was there with them. And apparently just recently, the integrity commissioner found out that they actually were all staying at the same hotel and they all were getting a massage at the very same time. And I think the name
in
of
the same room
in the same room. And I think the name of the massage was like the double happy ending deluxe or something like that.
No, so,
it was a ridiculous name for the massage. So I think those guys were all going cross.
That's wrong. It was the super and double
he said,
happy.
He said, I ran into him in the hallway at the foyer. Like it was just like, I didn't even know he was going to be there, but yeah, he's a family friend. And like, we've like known each other for years.
That's right. That's right, man. So it's wild. But TK, that story is mind blowing, man.
That's a real estate story.
And you know? Dinner is on you, my friend.
Oh
tonight.
My God. No kidding, right?
Congratulations though. That's great for you.
Yeah. You know, awesome. It's again, there's a great happy feelings on one side. And there's this other feelings like, man, like, I got to find that buyer another deal to make up for this one because, you know, that's a tough situation, you know?
Did you bring the buyer too, or they came?
Oh, yeah, he came to us, right? I mean, we had the listing, so he came to us.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Is there any
nice guy, super nice guy. Just
you?
Bad luck.
Are you completely safe in this situation?
What did he
do? Yeah, like, you know, we're not, I don't control what the government does, you know? And he knows
your flyer
owns other property in Drap. Like, he owns other property. This is not like a.
Oh, he does.
First time guy. Like he owns other property in Drap. He owns other property in Durham. He owns many, many.
No, he was happy to get
land.
This. This was a
it was
trophy
just like,
for him. For
fortunately
sure.
For him, this policy
was this
changed.
The Gasparis? Can you tell us?
No, it wasn't.
No,
him.
No. They tried though, didn't they?
I'm not allowed. I can't confirm or deny though whether or not you know we had any dealings with them as well. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's the area. That's the type of people who are going to be looking at that land, right?
Yeah,
and the sure. other sales in the area. Because
otherwise,
too,
it's
all
worthless.
Well, no, they paid. Fieldgate paid $350,000 an acre. They bought about a 400 acre parcel from Coughlin Homes, and they paid $350,000 an acre. which again is high. Like if you look at Greenbelt land anywhere else, like you can go to like Stouffville, Markham.
Yeah, why would you pay that much?
You're like 50,000 an acre in a
Greenbelt birds
area.
Yeah, you get to look at birds and whatever the hell Gundobad's into.
Prime of potatoes, baby. How much you get for a bushel of potatoes?
You probably bought your place for like 10,000 an acre or something.
Who, me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You bought a place that you're going to build a cabin in.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Not in the fucking Greenbelt, though, man. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, the pricing you just mentioned on the Greenbelt. I know the rural real estate agent who specializes in farm properties, and she sent me a table. She gets like a, you know, the stats every month about prime ag land that's tiled in Southern Ontario. Mm-hmm. And the price range went from $12,000 an acre at the base up to $30,000 an acre. I think the mm-hmm. cheapest land was in Norfolk County, if you guys know where that is. Mm-hmm. And the most expensive was in Oxford County, which I think is near London. And that's a huge like dairy producing county. Yeah. But I was surprised to see those numbers. But obviously, they're much bigger. Wait a minute. Sorry. Can you repeat those numbers again for
GTA, Greenbelt land? GTA Greenbelt land. So you're talking Markham, East Gwillimbury. This is not, I don't know if it's prime agricultural land on that basis. I know the Farm Owners Association reads, I read those reports like once a year, just when I'm dealing with a farm property or something. And those numbers always seem low based on when I look at the comps and then I look at what they're telling me the average price per acre is in Northumberland or whatever, but like they're not too far off. But I'm talking like prime GTA location, like Markham, you know, but it's Greenbelt or Stouffville. But it's Greenbelt, so you can't build anything on it. You're just kind of like stuck with this land because there's a lot of different shapes and stuff like that. North Durham, East Gwillimbury, West Gwillimbury, those type of places.
Right. I guess you can lease it out to farmers to continue farming it. But
well, have a homestead. You can, you know, be near the GTA. Like there's other things that you get to use it for.
Right. Yeah.
So how many people got to get fired before Ford disappears now? Like how many guys are going to stand in front of this runaway train?
Well, what do you guys think? I mean, don't you think that all the other MPPs came up to him and said, dude, the numbers are not looking good. I'm getting shat all over by my constituents. And I think if you look at the polling, the polling data I saw was like 85% of Ontarians wanted the land put back. You know, that's pretty tough. And also support, I think a third of people who voted for Ford in the last election literally were thinking about voting for somebody else in the next election based on this whole situation, which is really interesting. But like, don't you
weren't
guys
most think of the voters MPPs? Like weren't most of the voters pro housing that went for Ford anyways? Like, weren't they all like, oh, cool, like that's good for somebody?
Yes, I think that most people, though, I think most people know that taking the land out of the Greenbelt and adding to the land stock is not going to really change the dynamics in the marketplace. You know, that's what the Ontario, you know, affordable housing, whatever task force, they came to that conclusion. That was the guy from Scotia Capital Markets that was leading that. You know, that's what the Auditor General, she went and talked to all the different municipalities. If you just look, right, I actually double checked my stats because the last time, you know, talking with you guys, I think I said the number like 300 square kilometers within the municipal boundaries of Greenfield land, you know, that's approved for development right now in the GTHA, but it's actually 590 square kilometers. So that's 150,000 acres.
Mm-hmm. That is so much more. That's a lot of houses you can build in that area. Square the difference, like that's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
It's not a little mistake. Yeah. Okay. You could work for the government. This is great.
Tell me that that's an axe in your
hand. You're bang on.
That's an axe.
Is that
an axe?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to say right off the bat.
Because if it wasn't an axe, I would be disappointed. Okay.
Oh, yeah, man. I don't know about you. It's scientifically proven that your testosterone levels will rise 30% if you have an axe in your hand. So I just carry this around all day.
Yeah. I'll try it.
Makes sense. What about a shield? Do you carry a shield while you walk around?
No, Daryl, but
how does that make you feel? Yeah. That'll make you feel pretty cool.
If you have a shield, you'll just have a full-on erection.
My 2 cents. Okay?
That's a first for the show.
Doug Ford right now has just announced that he's not going to change it in the future, right? But Paul Calandra, the housing minister, was talking about studying the Greenbelt and all that kind of stuff. I think they're going to start studying the Greenbelt more. And I think that
realizing that this property should go
based on a study that there's going to be some properties that don't need to be part of the Greenbelt and maybe some properties that do. And I think that they'll do a more thorough investigation because I think this has come to light, in my opinion, my incredibly ignorant and naive opinion. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not an environmentalist or scientist in any way, but I do believe that any decisions that were made to put certain lands in the green belt were rushed, and that there really wasn't as much thought as there needed to be to put the green belt
20 years
in place. So I think that they should study it again. Maybe there needs to be more in the green belt, and that all the land that's there needs to stay and they need to increase it. I don't know, but I think that they'll start doing some studies to figure out what needs to happen, and that will leave some room for some of the green belt land.
You wanna bet that this will happen as part of the future? You wanna bet that somehow the same developers will somehow be granted these MZOs on other sites somewhere else to make up for this?
It's a definite possibility. I mean, that's what happened to the Drudge family farm in Markham, right? That Shakir Ramatoula bought. He bought it from them for $15 million. He bought 100 acres for $15 million. And the problem with that property is that I think only about 10% of it was in the greenbelt, which he did get taken out as part of this greenbelt land swap. But the main thing that happened for him was that area was all zoned agriculture only, right? It was in the white belt. It was zoned agriculture only, so it was not part of the Markham, you know, municipal boundaries. It wasn't part of that 590 square kilometers that's set up and approved for development right now. So he, you know, I guess during his rub and tug mission to Las Vegas with the boys from Dougie's cabinet, was able to get Doug to issue an MZO to take the Drudge family farm to change the zoning, right? And that still left, I guess, 10 out of the 100 acres in the greenbelt. But that still gave him 90 acres where he could build on. And CBRE did a valuation on the property after that MZO. And the valuation changed from $15 million to $330 million. So,
and then
one
corrupt.
One set of rub and tugs in Las Vegas can make you a few hundred million bucks in Ontario.
It should be about $2 million an acre for that land. It should be about $2 million an acre. So sometimes these appraisals are just kind of like, you know, they're just there.
I think that CBRE number might be like including after you build it out and you sell it, like the total valuation
of each of the houses too and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
I imagine, because I think you're like 330 for 100 acres is like a lot of money. But I mean, when if you put, you know, if you're selling a unit of housing for $1 million, it's like that quickly becomes a lot of money, right?
It's the same bankers that Rice is using for the loan in the Greenbelt.
That's obviously crazy,
right? Because those valuations are next level.
RBC's involved, right? So it's like, you know, like, how are they underwriting that? Like, what is that based off of? All the deals that we're doing are all like VTBs and stuff like that. Like, sellers are financing.
Yeah, and they're getting 6 billion% over purchase price, right? Based on what?
Rosie, by the way, I got one VTB, which is a vendor take back mortgage, kind of bad, where the seller holds the mortgage instead of them going to the bank afterwards. And I got one that I did that was $1.7 million VTB, and the person's like behind on their payments and stuff like that. Like, it's not going so well because it's a project and they're working on it and everything else. So they're asking me, like, you know, well, what do you do? And I said, like, well, you give them notice. I mean, what are you talking about? What do you do? Right. And they feel bad and everything like that. But I said, look, this is what you knew was going to be part of the rights that you have as the mortgage holder, is that if they're going to be in default, you need to be giving them notice and start, you know, proceeding if they get behind a few months. But it's at like the end of the day, they're not going to let that go too far, I imagine.
It's like people aren't thinking worst case scenario. Okay. Let me shift gears a little bit here, because we got an expert here with us.
I'm too much of a jerk.
He brought it up last time, and it intrigued me, this Century Initiative. Okay, let's talk about the Century Initiative again, bro, because I'm telling you, okay, now we pissed off India, so where's this 100 million people coming from all of a sudden? What's gonna, and hold on a sec, like, if this thing is really a thing, they will not take their foot off of the, it's not a pedal. They won't close the gates again, right? They're just going to keep letting, they have to keep letting people in. But yeah, this is, we're behind if we're going to get to the Century Initiative goal, right? Here, let's talk about it. What's the Century Initiative? Go into a little detail.
The Century Initiative is a child pedophilia ring run by Justin Trudeau. as you know, and the QAnon. Oh, wait, sorry.
Hold on a sec.
Sorry. I'm thinking about something else. That's the QAnon hat. Sorry.
Initiative
is a plan that was dreamed up by Dominic Barton, the former head of McKinsey Global, who is a Canadian, and him and a BlackRock finance bro of his, they came up with this idea to basically grow Canada's population to 100 million people as fast as possible. Their reasoning is that, you know, so we can compete with the economic titans of the world like China and the United States. Many people don't realize, like, Canada is a tiny country, but we have the ninth biggest economy in the world. Like, we're up there, right? But anyways, that's the plan. But that's what Trudeau's immigration targets are all based on. We have historically high immigration rates right now in terms of both absolute and relative numbers. And this is an enormous reason for the housing crisis that we have right now. So if we keep going forward at the current immigration rates that Trudeau has set in place, we will double Canada's population, I think, within 24 or 23 years from now, which is mind-boggling to think about the GTHA with double the population in like 20 years. Oh my God. That is absolutely fucking insane. But that's basically what the situation is.
I don't know if it's me, but like, it is definitely noticeable moving around this city that there are more people all of a sudden. Like, this 100%. Is not like the last 20 years where it kind of happened gradually. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, holy shit, there are like a lot more people around all the time, everywhere.
A lot of them are walking too, I noticed. And they got bags on their shoulder, you know?
Because they're afraid to go on the TTC. Walking
down the street. I got like suitcases. I see them sometimes with suitcases just going down the street. And you're kind of just like, oh.
I saw one of the videos that Daryl sent about TI. I think you were going down to the CNE or something. And you're like, where all, like, this place is fucking packed. I thought there's supposed to be a recession. Like, what are all these fucking people doing? And you're like, wow, yeah, Toronto is packed. You can feel it. I agree.
Everywhere you go, it's not even Toronto. Like, you go to Niagara Falls and it's like a goddamn zoo there, right? It's like everywhere you go, there's just more. Canada's Wonderland. Like, you used to wait in line for an hour. Now it's 3 hours for rides, like Disney. It's like, what the hell is going on? But if you bring in a million people, actually a million, let's say that the number's actually a million and it's right, like, how many of them are in Ontario now, right? And then how many of them are in friggin' Toronto right now? Like, that's a noticeable amount of people, 250,000 new people, right?
The number that I saw, it's generally between like 40 and 45% of the total. And we're letting in a million people every 8 months now.
8 months.
And by the way, I don't know if you guys probably saw this, but the fucking whatever department, the federal government is like, oh, by the way, we miscounted. There's probably a million more foreign students in Canada than we even have on record.
TK broke that story. TK came up with that somehow.
Really?
I read the same article that Gundabad read. Nothing new. All really? Yeah. It's non-permanent residents. Yeah.
Non-permanent workers, residents.
Foreign students, you know, people who aren't officially on a list somewhere that
came on vacation.
Has permanent residence with. So then they're like, well, we underestimated it by a million people.
It's insane, man. But I mean, I think what people realize is that Poilievre will axe the carbon tax, and he will also axe the Century Initiative. So he doesn't talk publicly about this, but basically, if you see the way that they're talking about this, they're going to axe this, man. I mean, you can't solve the housing crisis without solving 50% of the equation, which is the demand side, baby. Like, you got to dial down the demand and let us catch up a little bit here. But, you know, they're ahead. The most recent polling numbers I saw is like they're at 39% support. And I think the Liberals are down to like 29. If the election was tomorrow, they would mop up.
There's no way that Poilievre's not going to win the next election. Like, it's pretty much set in stone. I think everybody knows it. The Liberals know it. Everybody knows it. It's like, how is that not going to happen? Come on.
How? Like, the same way Trump didn't win in the States.
No,
man.
Way. There's too much hate against Trudeau for him to win again. There's just no way. There's just people aren't going to support him. Maybe they don't vote. And then there's a bunch of people who will vote for the other guy. That's what Canadians love to do. They love to vote for the other guy.
Can't you just like eliminate the whole voting process altogether? Can't he just change the rules?
No.
Can't he pull a Xi Jinping on us?
The new topic I'm now. Serious. Again, that's coming out again because inflation went back up again, is stagflation.
Stagflation.
This is the newest thing now, right?
Because what about greedflation?
We've had those issues before, right? We've had those issues before. The last time we had it was in the 70s, where we start to see that slowing economy, increase in unemployment, and yet higher costs due to external factors, right? Whether it's supply shortages or anything like that, it doesn't seem like inflation's going away. And it seems like we've got a lot of pressure from immigration. It really does seem like that. Because of the increased demand, we've got a lot of pressure on prices and all this kind of stuff for people to, you know, to buy goods and services and everything else. And inflation doesn't seem to be able to be in control.
No. We've got interest rates has nothing to do with the CPI going crazy.
That's all part of it.
That's a big part of it.
But I'm just saying there's other factors too. It's not just your housing prices. Everything, sure. Everything's gone up.
It's your oil, gas.
You've got now, we're back at unemployment insurance applications have now reached a high since 2009, excluding the pandemic times, right? So people are losing jobs. We've obviously got a lot of people who are coming to this country. I'm very pro-immigration, but my opinion is that we're bringing in more refugees and people who are not working and people who are getting some sort of support from the government or bringing in their families. So it's dropping our per capita GDP down. So we're going to have a lot more pressure on the economy in that sense, or at least we're going to be looking at, you know, how much output are we doing per person? And we've already had one quarter of a contracting economy. So it looks like we're heading into a recession. And the people that I'm dealing with right now are insanely underwater. Insanely. One guy I met today, it was just like, he told me a situation and I was just like, oh boy. And I don't want to say it because I don't want to identify him, but I was just like, man, that is a lot of money based on the real estate speculation that he's been doing the last couple of years that comes out of his pocket every single month. And that if that doesn't stop, this is unsustainable.
I think a lot of people were in a recession for like a year. Like there's been a lot of people that have just been like, turn around. I got another month in me. I got another month left.
Yeah.
Maybe two, maybe three. Oh, scored big. One more month.
Gundobad's going to have a lot of neighbors up north on that property there. He's going to have people pitching tents on his land. You're going to have to get some barbed wire.
I'm ready to shoot a man or take him up with his axe. So I'm ready.
This is what's happening. People don't have a place to live. It's crazy.
I know. By the way, your last guest, Jason, funny guy. Every time I post about my property on TikTok, he leaves a comment. He's like, hey, man, we're building townhouse. Me and Daryl and TK are building a townhouse development on your property.
On your property?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, thanks, bro. That's great. That's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Do you tell people where it is exactly?
Absolutely not, dude.
Yeah, okay. Don't do that.
I don't know. I've only seen like a bad idea. I've only been watching you since I met you now, but maybe I thought at one point you announced the location.
That would be silly. He's got like a huge following.
Way closer to the city than everyone thinks.
I don't know what the hell he's doing on here.
100%. It's like 15 minutes away from like Pickering. You know, he's just like in this great spot.
Yeah,
I actually got Doug Ford to give me a part of the green belt.
That's right.
It's all part of the deal.
He's the lawyer working for Rice, actually. What do you do for a living? Like, what do you actually do?
So I work with brands in China, essentially as a consultant, but I literally host like live streams for brands in China. Mm-hmm. I was previously a talk show host in China.
I saw a video with you with...
is he shitting? Backstreet Boys? Is he fucking with us right now?
Was it Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, with the Backstreet
Boys. His Chinese is really good, man.
No way, really Chinese. Cool. Yeah. I thought you were fucking with
random.
Us.
Yeah. No, I know it's pretty random. I lived in China for 7 years. I had to come back, you know, when I don't know if you guys remember the two Michaels, they arrested the two Michaels.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that shit. I was back here for Christmas and one of the Michaels was my very good friend. And I was like, well, it looks like I'm not going back to China. Cause I think I was probably on their list, you know, to send to the gulag. So, 100%. Cause I literally had like, I had a,
you can't stay out of trouble everywhere you go.
That was at, you know, broadcast. Sorry. What's that?
You can't stay out of trouble everywhere you go. There's,
I know, dude. I mean, what the hell? I just love getting naked in public. You know, I think that's my main problem is
just don't do it in China.
But, you know, I wanted to say also something about your guest. You had a Chinese fellow on earlier talking about the China market. And I don't think he's a very smart dude. He had a lot of interesting stuff to say, but his little analysis of the China market, I thought was completely underwhelming in terms of people don't realize how fucked China is with all of this. You know, there's basically 45 or 50 million units sitting empty. And the most critical thing is that guest said, the population's not growing like
shrinking.
It used to. The population's fucking shrinking like a stone. Yeah. It's like, going off the cliff,
like,
man.
Off a cliff.
Yeah.
And you could wax poetic about all the down, you know, trickle down things, what that means when your population is shrinking in a free market capitalist system. But if aggregate demand is shrinking month over month over month, everything goes down. There was actually deflation last month in China for the first time since I think like the 1980s. Like, yeah. China is so fucked. The property market is so fucked. You guys have been covering this, right, about all the lender, the developers over there that are you know, defaulting. But China, a lot of geopoliticists that I've been following think that China will cease to exist as a unified country probably within 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it is.
Yeah, but it's so funny because there's the inverse. You've got all these people saying like they're the next superpower and they're taking over, and they're like, if you follow the right people, it's like they're imploding. But it's a slow implosion. Like, it, we talk about it, but it'll happen over a decade. It's not going to be like boom tomorrow. But what's crazy is that, like, what do you got going on in Ukraine, really? You got all these old fucking powers that, like, there's no young power coming in right now to take over, like, in this new power or this new world order that's going to come out. It's like Russia's fucking old and China's old and the US is old and we don't even count. We're useless. Like, India is the up and comer right now. And nobody's even talking about India, really, in the light where they could take over as the dominant force on the planet. But like, if China's really going down the way that we hear, I mean, you live there, maybe you saw it, but like, this is like. Even if they win in Ukraine, like, then what? They're dying. Yeah, I mean,
the big problem, like, China's fucked, and they're probably going to have to invade Taiwan if the Communist Party wants to survive, even though it's probably going to cause the starvation of a few hundred million Chinese people, because if they put the same kind of embargo on China that they have on Russia right now, China imports 50% of its caloric needs every year from the outside. So if you put an embargo on China, they're going to fucking starve to death, man. But the problem with India and Africa and South America, they will never industrialize like China did. You know how it was like started off in England and then the industrialization happened in America because their, you know, unit labor costs were lower. So then all the factories moved to America and then all the factories moved from America to China. That's never going to happen with India and Africa because of robotics and automation. Right?
They're never going to happen.
So, like, to be honest, India in the next 5 or 10 years with robotics and AI, like, these giant populations could end up becoming enormous economic and social burdens.
Because
these people won't
UBI.
They've got these machines now that Nike is using. There's this company in Boston that literally you can feed fabric into the machine, like jean fabric, and it's got all these suction cups and robotic shit, and it can literally spit out a perfect pair of jeans on the other side. This was the bread and butter shit that, like, you know, Southeast Asia and India and China earlier on, they would start with those simple industries to build themselves up. It's not going to happen. It's all going to be onshore. They're going to
make
the clothing with... It's all fucked, man.
It's so all going to be
South America and India, they're all fucked, dude.
I missed the boat. And India doesn't have that same type of, like, you know, conquer mentality. Like, China's been taking over stuff. Obviously, Great Britain, you know, for years, centuries before, as a world superpower, the U.S. has been the same kind of way. I think China was the only real hope of another world superpower coming up. Russia's been the same, obviously, you know, with Ukraine and everything. But, like, name one place where, like, was conquered by India. You know, like, how many African countries other than amongst themselves were, you know, going out overseas trying to take over different countries or you know, put their own flag in another country's soil? Doesn't happen, right? So that's why India doesn't. India is like a silent threat, really. India's smart. They're just like super leaders in the data and tech world. They've got super connections.
Consumers
everywhere that you go right now, like, there's a lot of Indian people in every population, not just Canada, like in all the European countries and all that kind of stuff too.
There's a couple here lately now too, I noticed. Did you notice that there's some Indian people here lately?
There's a couple here too, yeah. Right? But like, this is what it is. It's they don't need to use brute force, right? They use, cognitive abilities to be able to get through.
There's so many people there, though. They're never going to industrialize. They're never going to become richer than a middle-income country, if even that.
Agreed.
Like, China's basically stuck, and they call it, like, the middle-income trap, right, where you can't break out of that into the higher value-added areas. But one of the key things I think people need to know about China is this, is that the Communist Party, there's a huge amount of civil unrest in China right now. Like, that's why Xi Jinping didn't go to G20. He also didn't go to the BRICS summit, which I think means that there's so much domestic shit going on at home that he can't leave China. And if the economy is shrinking, literally the only basically support the Communist Party had in China for their autocratic, you know, tyrannical rule was the fact that the middle class was getting richer and richer, and then the poorest farmers were, you know, moving up the totem pole as well. Now that's not happening. You talk to the average person on the street in China, they fucking hate the Communist Party. They know that they're corrupt fucks. They've been fucking over the Chinese people for 60 years. Yeah. The reason that the Communist Party is probably, I think, my guesstimate is there's a very good chance they're going to try to invade Taiwan, is that if Justin Trudeau loses the next election, he retires to whatever, Kanata, right, with his wife or his new girlfriend, and he sails off into the sea, right? If Xi Jinping and the Communist Party lose power, they will literally be beheaded.
Beheaded. Yeah.
The whole family, everybody in the senior Communist Party leadership will be murdered. Their entire lineage will be wiped off the earth. So if they think, right, if they invade Taiwan, it's wag the dog. It's everybody in China is no longer, let's kill the Communist Party. It's we're fighting America for Taiwan. We're coming together, right? And literally a few hundred million people could starve to death, but at least the Communist Party will survive into the future. But shit's going to get crazy, man. It's going to get crazy. I really think it is.
It is already getting crazy. This is just the stuff we get to hear about. I mean, who knows what the fuck is really going on? Look at what goes on in the background of the green belt. And I mean, this is big money, but this isn't like the kind of money that geopolitical stuff is based on, right? This is like, we're talking next level shit. Well, anyways, guys, it was a pleasure.
What a surprise we got today. We got Gundabad.
Was that nice? Were you happy about
it? It was the perfect show to bring him on today, too.
Appreciate it.
Episode.
That's why.
Thank you, gentlemen. TK, I am looking forward to that bottle of Veuve Clicquot you're sending to me for your green belt deal going through.
Yeah. I just need your address.
He's got a case of it ready to send off.
It's 69 Hooker Lane.
There you go.
There's Scarborough, Ontario. I swear he's local, eh? He's just got a little setup. He's got like a 200-foot lot. He's like, he's in the city, I'm telling you.
How many people want
that axe right there is just for him to trim his cedars.
This is no Halloween axe. Edges. Yeah. Right? This is a real man here, TK. Well, Mr. Gundabad, thank you once again.
We're going to go back to our simple lives of
all of your efforts.
And, you know,
thank you for getting us the green belt back for the people. We all thank you personally. I speak for everyone. I guarantee you.
Other than the owners of the properties who lost millions of dollars. But other than those guys, everybody else is really happy with you.
Some of them are probably even relieved.
There's a few people who have
like
a sign
what a
on their
mess
lawn
this says, must have been for the last little while, right?
They don't
Can you
support
imagine?
It, but there's many people right now who are not so happy.
What a disaster.
That's right. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys. Keep rocking. Enjoy. You got another guest, right?
No, that's it, man.
We're done. They're done.
Killed the show. We're finished.
We took a 20-minute. We did a 20-minute show before you got on. So we do an hour. People don't love us. We don't really like us that much. An hour is plenty. You got a new podcast, by the way. And congratulations, first of all.
It's funny.
And second, how's it going?
Good. Well, I got about 12 billion
views
in the first whatever 8 days. But I put out like, you know, three episodes. So we'll see. I mean,
don't show off or anything like that. We had like 33 views the first year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a different ask, right? When you're asking someone to watch like a 30-second video versus listening to you for an hour, right?
Especially these voices. Yeah.
You guys got a good show, man. I listened to all your guys' shows. Like it's really fascinating shit. It really is.
Appreciate
it. I watch you on Instagram.
You guys are funny too. So
I'm not on the talk, but I'm on the gram. I'm on the gram. But so you got a podcast, you're interviewing people, you're out there, you know, dealing with the people with the stories that are interesting for you and the people who listen to your platform and everything else like that. So you just want to
who are they? Yeah. Who are your fans?
They're people. Are they
what do you, what are you? You're like a nature activist. Like what the fuck is Gundabad? You're like, well, I'm political,
like Discovery Channel for Ontario, right? Because like I'm a hunter and a fisherman myself, so I'm kind of trying to play it down the middle. I'm trying to get all kinds of people, and so far it's kind of working. Like I've got and hunters arguing in my comment section, and that's exactly what I want. Because you know, I think like 80. My hypothesis is I could get like 80% of Ontarians watching like Discovery Channel for Ontario. Because people just like that shit. You know what I mean? But I'm not like, oh, conservatives are fucking idiots. I fucking hate libtards, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Cause that just, I find turns a lot of people off, but
say it here then. Thank you.
But no, you're doing it. Like you got, you're a smart guy. So you got like a lot of information about different like animals and species and stuff like that. And you're well-prepared and you do a good job and you bring on some experts. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
It's just kind of a random, and I would love to have you guys on the podcast too, to talk about real estate from the, you know, people in the industry perspective. Cause you know, one of the things is that like a lot of, especially the libtards out there, they're just like real estate bros are all fucking evil. And it's like, no, you guys, like these guys need to make money. Otherwise they're not going to build fucking houses for us and we're all going to be fucked. You know, which I think is really important. And that's what, you know, land planners, I don't know if you've ever, you know, interacted with those kind of people before, but they really take, you know, developers and the development industry into mind when they're doing all this planning shit, right? Like in all the stakeholder analysis stuff. But, and the other thing, dude, on the left, because I'm, you know, I generally vote liberal. I guess you could categorize me as a center left libtard. And, you know, on the liberal side of the spectrum, nobody's being honest about the Century Initiative shit at all. At all. Like one of my friends.
The first time I even heard about it was out of your mouth. We're going to be
like, hey, by the way,
overload
the system and cause you guys a bunch of pain.
Fuck this shit up bad.
I know.
And you're going to pay for it too.
But it does kind of make sense though for us to like increase the size of the economy. Like how else are we going to do that? And we've always complained about not having enough people in Canada. The issue is that everyone's going to want to live in Toronto and Vancouver.
Or that's in a issue. House or with a roof, even those bastards. They're going to want roofs, all of them.
That's the problem, though, is just we just need roofs. To have people like we need to literally have to like
there's no sunshine
severely here. Incentivize people to move to those other places of Canada that no one wants to live in.
Where they can not afford a roof there.
Yeah,
at least spread out the unaffordability a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, China is fucked. If you shrink in a capitalist system, you are fucked. Like shit's going to collapse.
Yeah. Where are all the Chinese people going to go as this is happening? They're not going to want to stay there if they have half a brain.
So many of the millionaires have already left, man.
Already left.
Millionaires have already left.
I had a Chinese friend of mine got a PR card today.
Really?
And I know, I know someone else who asked me about immigration, stuff like that. So I don't know the first thing about immigrating to Canada, but I sent them the link.
We're
to the
trying
website.
To help somebody now. It's a fucking mess. It's not easy. I'm surprised at how hard it actually is. And she's here. It's not easy.
It's
like,
to be easy to get in. I thought there was just an open door.
Thousands of dollars on a lawyer. And like, it's really actually surprisingly, shockingly crazy that it's like, I'm like, she's willing to do anything. Like she just wants to live in Canada. Yeah. Well, okay. Sorry. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you
unless
can't...
you're a student,
yeah,
then you get in no matter what. Or if you got 300 grand and you're doing a startup, no problem. Everything else, not so easy.
Yeah. I had a lady offer me, how much did you offer? I think it was 5 million. It was 5 million UN. So I guess that's like a million Canadian dollars to get married. So she could immigrate to Canada. And then she found out about this investment thing. And she's like, oh, by the way, I don't actually need to get married to you. I can third of the price. I wasn't going to do it anyways. I mean, that's pretty weird stuff. I mean, $1 million is a lot of money, but what do you tell her?
Give her my number. My wife will divorce me and we'll do that. And then, you know, we'll figure it out later. Whoa, what's going on
but
here?
But Gundobad's the real guy.
I'm going on some Chinese real estate agents podcast, I think, next week. And her whole thing, there's not even been one word of English on it ever. So tune in for that.
You're going
to
be
awesome.
I don't
even know. I'll post it on Twitter.
The Chinese love you though, Daryl. They love you.
We should do ours with dubbed. In Chinese, we should find voice characters to dub the show in Chinese, man. I'm not even kidding.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, Mr. Beast, he does.
That's what I was. That's where I got it from. Yeah,
he just used his company to do it.
He was on the All In podcast, and did you watch that All In podcast? He was just in their whole. They interviewed him. It was great. Mr.
Oh,
Beast.
That'd be fascinating to hear those guys talk to that guy. To,
right, Mr. Beast became like a big business tycoon all of a sudden that these guys want to listen to. Unbelievable. Yeah. What a world. And this is the thing. It's like there's so many opportunities out there, even in the crazy bullshit that's going on. People just got to like explore other things these days. You know, don't be stupid. Don't work in a restaurant that could get shut down in the next few months. Right. Get out of the restaurant business if you have half a brain. Just in case, right? Who can absorb a second round of that shit, right?
Yeah. That's true. You know, people, I think also a lot of people, you know, your guys' personalities are set up perfectly for doing this kind of stuff. There's a lot of people, they aren't comfortable on camera, man. They can't, you know, they can't do it. They don't want to do it. But immigration rate is that it's, you know, our immigration rate is, I think it's depending on the numbers you use, it's between 5 and 6 times higher than that of the United States on a relative basis. So this is the thing, you know, to what TK was saying is like, yeah, you got to grow the population, but at what pace, right? Because it's pretty clear the wheels are coming off the fucking car right now with everything, right? Mm. With housing, with freaking transportation infrastructure, with education, with the hospital system. I think we're the lowest in the G, whatever it is, like 35 in terms of hospital beds per capita,
is
right?
G35 now?
G20, whatever it is. We're like lowest. G6. No, yeah.
Like a G6.
G6 or the G20, something like that. But okay. You know what I mean? Like the pace is fucking crazy.
Okay, so hold on a sec. Let's just say we're as behind as some people think we are with affordable housing, not housing in general, because apparently there's inventory everywhere right now. But let's just say we stop immigration completely. Like, how long until we can get everybody that's here now kind of sorted out before we can open up the gates again? Right? Like, I'm pretty sure
we're heading down a road, and it's not just in Canada, it's every single Western country right now has got the same issues, which is extreme poverty. There's extreme homelessness, there's extreme starvation, basically. Food banks numbers are doubling. You got people right now who are just struggling, and that's where we're going. Like, it's sad to say, it's like, oh, we should just accept that people are going to be struggling. That's where we're going. That's just how this sort of society has led to. There's going to be, just like there was back, you watch those movies back in the, you know, 14th, 15th century, and there's just those people just living in slums, and it was just like normal that people would be living in these like substandard conditions. And then there's other people who are kind of like on the countryside doing okay. And then you had the elite. That's what we're going back to. It's pretty obvious.
That would really suck. Well, I mean, how long would you have to shut down immigration for? I'd ask you guys how long, because the number I've seen is like 3 to 4 million units of housing. We're probably short 3 to 4 million units of housing right now. So how long, if we should shut immigration to zero, how long would it take our housing industry to build 3 to 4 million units?
Is that how many people are not housed?
I think that's
10% of the population doesn't have a home.
Well, that's also just like to change the supply dynamics too, just to bring also the prices down to a reasonable.
Yeah, level, there's right? The numbers aren't always as clear. It depends on who's printing it. Sometimes they're also basing it on what would make it affordable.
Yeah.
Who's to say that housing is supposed to be affordable in Canada? Like, I'd like it to be, don't get me wrong here, but like, where is that written that housing must be affordable in Canada?
Well, I mean, it's a logical goal, is it not?
It makes total sense. Like, it just, is that something that needs to happen? We always talk about, well, eventually it has to get affordable. Incomes have to go up and all. It may not.
What happens if it's not affordable?
The people who own are the elite. The people who own are the people who own other real estate. The people who can't afford it are the ones living in substandard conditions. The people who can't afford to live in Toronto move to other parts of Canada.
The problem with that, TK, is I think there's something, you know, how like in the United States, they spend whatever 20% of GDP on healthcare. And, you know, here in Canada, we spend 12 or whatever, right? If Canadians are spending like a third or whatever, 50% of their disposable income on housing, It's very bad in the medium and the long term in terms of like innovation and general health of the economy, because such a stupid, simple thing is sucking up so much resources.
Of course.
Of people.
And, there's no business investment anymore because you're just simply trying to keep a roof over your head.
And people can't,
or you're speculating on real estate because that's what makes you money instead of figuring out how to build a business. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this is a system that's not broken.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think you need to have an objective of a federal government and a provincial government to have affordable housing. Like,
but I think it's an unrealistic expectation to believe that they're going to fix it anytime soon.
No.
In 2030, all of a sudden it's going to be affordable.
We're all just going to be living in this, man.
Pierre's turning down the taps, though, on the demand side. He's going to turn down the taps big time.
Yeah, but the affordability will still, if we're that far behind, the affordability will not catch up for a considerable amount of time, which is kind of what my main point was, is if we do turn off the tap, how long to catch up before we get to this affordable level that, like TK is saying, isn't real? Right? Like the affordable level isn't real until it's in relation to something, right? It has to be in relation to wages, I think, because we need to pay for shit. Now, maybe in the future, it's in relation to UBI combined with wages or something like that. But like there has to be an income component, right? Which seems to have gone out the window in the last 70 years. Right? Like it's like wages stayed. And now
what did that look like in Europe though? What did that look like in Europe? When everyone
owned a farm
and you own a piece of land and then you build your own house and all that kind of stuff. Right. You had an axe. You walked around with an axe everywhere. He's had to chop down trees to build. Eventually that changed. Eventually people couldn't afford the land anymore. And they started building buildings. And 200 years ago or whenever it was,
right,
people just started to accept that they were going to live in an apartment. And I don't know anybody in Europe who doesn't live in an apartment, or they live like in the country somewhere in a house, but no one lives in a city in a house and owns it that I know.
Right.
I don't have that many friends in Europe, but
you know, there's a problem. You think about that machine that can make jeans, right? That they're rolling out now to Nike. And if Nike is going to be firing all of its workers, they don't even need workers to make shoes and t-shirts and pants and stuff with robotics.
Those 10 year olds can go to school now.
What's that?
Those 10-year-olds can go back to school, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But I mean,
keep one backpack for yourself.
Yeah, but if you extrapolate, all of a sudden, we don't need cashiers at McDonald's. We don't need Starbucks baristas.
Drivers, warehouse employees.
Oh, yeah, man. So you could, you know, Yuval Harari, I don't know if you've ever read his stuff, like, Sapiens or Homo Deus and all that, those books that he wrote. But he believes there's going to be a growing, he calls it the useless class, where there are these people that are literally not employable because of robotics and AI. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger, and they're going to have to be on some universal basic income. But then the problem is we're going to have to invent a new form of economics. Because capitalism, where you need basically for it to work, you need more and more humans to buy more and more rubber dog shit, right? For the pie to keep expanding and it for it to work.
From further away, too.
Yeah.
We're going to get it from the moon. I heard the moon's got lots of mineral deposits that we can mine.
If you replace humans with technology, it's like you can get into aggregate demand will be shrinking quarter over quarter, month over month. And then the whole thing is going to be really, really fucked. We're going to have to literally invent basically like a steady state economy.
But if the robots go to the moon and get all the minerals, if they mine all the minerals, okay, they bring back enough treasures for the corporations to be able to manufacture us shelter, food, and clothes.
No, you don't need that.
How many people really need to be working?
3D printers. Everybody's just going to have a 3D printer in their house and go, make me jeans. Make me meat. You see, the Israelis are making meat on a 3D printer now. It's like a replicator in Star Trek. It's going to be like, literally, you're going to be able to make any stupid little thing that you're allowed to make, you know, when this is happening, because you won't be allowed to make anything you want.
Give Jeff Bezos the moon. All right. Just give Jeff Bezos the moon. Just say, Jeff, you get the moon. It's yours. Everything on Amazon is free now.
Mm.
You could create something.
Take the moon, give us everything. What's the value of every item on Amazon right now? It's less than the moon.
Maybe.
Give them
what
the
if
moon.
The moon's made out of cheese and it went to shit, man?
There's things up there that people need.
you see, yeah, TK, this is another reason why I think this strategy from McKinsey Bro is a really bad idea, because we're going into an era where there's going to be extreme uncertainty in terms of how everything's going to be functioning. So blowing up the Canadian population right on the precipice of maybe we're all going to a UBI where Jeff Bezos is mining shit on the moon and we're just living off of the dividends of Jeff Bezos and what he's doing. It's like a huge population could become an enormous burden and a enormous competitive disadvantage, right, going into the future. So that's another reason to be cautious.
But that's why we have Bill Gates and his mosquitoes now, right?
What do you mean?
What?
About the mosquitoes.
Oh, guys.
Robot mosquitoes.
That's all. We're going to have to save that for another show,
this
guys.
This is a great conversation. I got to go to the gym. I got to pick up my kids and go train
right now.
Canadian
real estate show, right? What the fuck happened today?
Gundabad, don't ignore us. Come back
We've
on the
said
show
bye
again
three
soon.
Times. Yeah.
All right.
We want you in a skit,
We want
bro.
You in again. And we want you in a skit again, too. So I love you, too. You're in.
I love you guys.
All right.
In a heterosexual way.
Yeah.
In a very heterosexual way. Okay. I'm going to hit stop right now. Hang on.